You smell that? Take a whiff. That's football season. It's in the air. Welcome back to the C-Gap Blitz Podcast. Welcome into the C-Gap Blitz Podcast. My name is Chris Strausball. Thank you for tuning in. If you are listening, it has been a while. I am aware of that. I took a little bit of a different approach over the past couple of months than I have over the past 7 years of this podcast and probably 12 years of fantasy football. I unhooked. I unhinged. And I took some time away. There were a few times I thought I'll put some content out there, spark up some content just to get some people talking. Just couldn't bring myself to do it. There's only so much what if and how's this going to work and, you know, is this team going to be any good? Well, if this player works out and this player going to this team works out, you can only talk about that so much. And there's plenty of that out there on podcasts throughout your social media platforms that do that. I decided to take a little break, do other things. I took up the banjo recently. I'm getting older. I thought as I get older, you know, I could learn to play the banjo. How cool would that be? I did that. Still doing some building, some remodeling around the house. But I really feel like over the past couple of years that I've been kind of stale and not really burn out, but stale and just kind of worn by the time we get into week two or three of the season, whether it be college or the NFL. And I thought, well, I don't want that to happen because there's a lot of exciting stuff to talk about for this season. There's a lot of new things that are taking place. The rookies are coming in. You know, what rookies are going to land jobs as training camps kick off as early as this week. We have the Hall of Fame game coming up soon. So it's time. It's time to get my mode back in. And if you've been in that mode the whole entire spring and summer, good for you. I love that. And I've done that pretty much ever since I really got deep invested into fantasy football. But this year, I wanted to take a little break, and I want to see how it does. I want to see how I feel going into the season, whereas watching the NFL Network every single day during the months of March, April, May, June, and July, when they don't even have their team in place. They have their people take vacations and are out and stuff. So I thought, I'm going to try to unhook. I'm going to try a different process. Still kind of keeping the now. I've still been drafting. We've had several drafts, one of which just finished up a couple of days ago. The first ever HFP fundraiser league for the Patriot Guard Riders, an organization that escorts fallen first responders and military to their final resting place. We collected a fundraiser and we raised $400 and sent to their organization. A group of us created a league for that, so that was fun. I might get into a little bit more of that here a little bit later if I don't forget. But, you know, we've had our Devy drafts, our Devy leagues, and some Vestball leagues have drafted and stuff, so I haven't been completely out of it. But I haven't really been paying attention to what's going on. I follow stuff on Twitter, social media, things like that. But I've always been one to not fall into the hype of what you hear throughout the buzz on teams, you know, this time of year. Once we get into training camp and stuff, that's when it really starts to you take notice and you pay attention. Because if you hear a little tidbit, and I actually put this on social media a couple of weeks ago, that said, do not fall for what you're hearing teams report now. Because to me, it's just, it's filler just to get you through another day, and it's just saying stuff that the media wants to hear to get the media all riled up. And a lot of times it works, and that's great. But I've come to learn over my time doing this that most of it's hogwash. And I don't mean that to be negative. But I mean it as, what does it really matter what's happening in June? Nothing. Nothing. Unless a player suffers a tragic injury and he's out for a year at rookie mini camps or voluntary OTAs or things like that, I'm not really paying attention to things like that anymore. I used to. I'd get all dialed in, and I'd be like, oh, man, this guy's looking good. And I'd put it down as a okay, keep my eye on this. Okay, and then the next thing you know, that cat's getting cut second week into training camp. Happens all the time. So don't fall into that. So I decided to unhook, but now it's time to reset and get ready. A lot of my leagues have drafted already, a lot of what I call the lower tier leagues. Now, obviously, our Debbie Hitman League, the up-and-coming Debbie Sharpshooters League, those aren't lower tier leagues. Those are big-time, high-competition leagues. But the ones where I draft in person, you know, and we go and meet up, those are the ones I call the bigger leagues, because we go and meet up at places and stuff like that. Those are still to come. I have three leagues that we draft: the College to Canton, the Debbie Sharpshooters, and the Debbie Hitmen are all big-time competitive leagues, and they've already drafted. So I don't want you to think that those leagues mean anything less to me. As a matter of fact, the Debbie Hitmen, that's my baby. Okay, I'm going for a four-peat this year. So, you know, I don't count that one as a low-hanging fruit league like I do the best ball leagues, which are just free, and I just provide awards to the winners, things like that, that are like, you know, the junior varsity or the junior varsity of the world leagues. But it's time, and we're really going to ramp up next week because, you know, we're going to have a couple teams reporting and some other teams I think I saw reporting on the 19th, and that may actually be because of the Hall of Fame game. But that's content you want to see. It's going to be very bland, very vanilla, but it's actual, it's real. It's something that you can actually look forward to as opposed to just speculating and thinking this, if this happens and this guy hits and this guy gets hurt, then this guy hits. You got to see how it all plays out because you don't know. And, you know, I've got personally burnout with listening to it. Now, I'll still listen to podcasts. I still, and I won't, mock draft personally. I'll listen to them. I'll listen to the results of mock drafts. But I don't do it. I've told you that before on this podcast. I don't mock draft. I think it's a waste of time, because you put all this time into researching and putting a mock draft together, and you're like, it didn't even work out nowhere near like I thought it was going to. So I don't do it. People do it. People love it. People really, you know, thinks it helps. And that's great. Whatever works, you know, you got to do whatever works for you. If that works good for you, mock drafting works for you, you know, you go for it. It's not my thing. It's not for me, but it could be for you. We do have a little bit of breaking news I want to talk about right now. So, Kane?
Here's what we know.
DeAndre Hopkins, one of the two major free agents that was still out there in limbo, wondering where these guys were going to go, has landed in Tennessee. 2-year contract, $26 million with an incentive for $32 million. I think I read on Pro Football Focus a little bit ago. So what does this do for Treylon Burks? That's a fantastic question, Chris, because I asked myself the same thing. Well, obviously, Burks goes to 2. I think his draft stock is affected a little bit, but he's only a little bit, okay? Hopkins is going to come in now with plenty of time to get into camp. He's going to have to learn the system, learn how to play with Tannehill, and go. Basically, he's starting over from when he went to Sorry about that. I thought a bird just flew to my window. Lost my train of thought. When Hopkins landed... in Arizona from Houston, he had to start all over again. A few years older, a couple more injuries, bumps and bruises. Okay, I still think he goes into camp day one and week one, the wide receiver one, in that system. Bumps Burks to two. It's not a terrible thing. Burks is only a second-year player. He had a rough first year. I've heard really good things about him. I did take him in the aforementioned Patriot Guard Riders fundraiser league that we did. I took Treylon Burks. I was hoping he'd fall back to me in a round, and he did. So this news, I'm not bummed about it, because I think it gives two viable options, and it gives chance for Burks to A, learn, and also to kind of take some of the pressure off of Hopkins. So I don't hate the move. They're still going to run the ball as long as Derrick Henry is able to, and so, it's a good signing for Tennessee. For fantasy, I don't think it hurts much. If you were a Hopkins owner, you were sitting out there in limbo, like with Dalvin Cook. You're wondering, where are these two guys going to go? I keep waiting for the breaking news on Dalvin Cook signing someplace. But all I'm hearing from him is he's turning down offers left and right. So, that's one of the two major pieces left of free agency on who's going where. We had that answer today. DeAndre Hopkins to the Tennessee Titans on a two-year deal. As far as Dalvin Cook goes, I do look for him to sign now sooner than later. A month or so ago, he was in no rush. Now I think it is sooner than later he needs to go somewhere so that he can get in with that team as training camp does start, and he can kind of work himself into the system. There's rumors around. I guess he turned down Miami. There's thoughts of maybe Buffalo. There's thoughts of the Jets. There was a tingle of the Dallas Cowboys. Don't think that's going to happen. Or it would have already, I think. But he wants a lot of money. Dallas don't have a lot of money. So it really will be interesting to see where it goes, because it's wherever he lands, okay, he still has fantastic fantasy value for not only this year, but next year. After that, I don't know. I moved him a couple places last year when he was with Minnesota, because their philosophies changed offensively. He wasn't the main focal point, so I moved him in some places where I thought, well, they're going to go a different way with the passing game. His productivity in fantasy is going to come down. Then they release him, which I thought was crazy because I couldn't find anybody to trade him to. And then they cut him. I'm like, well, now he has his pick of where he's going to go, and he's taking his sweet time doing it. And it'll be interesting to see where he does end up, because, like I said, for this year, redraft leagues, you know, he's listed as a free agent in every redraft league or startup you're doing. And I got him. I took him in the seventh round of that fundraiser league the other day. Seventh round. I thought that was a fantastic value for him, because as soon as he gets into a team, he's the starter. He's not going to go anywhere where he isn't the starter. So at seven, in the seventh round, I'm like, yeah, I'm not letting him drop any farther. So I took him there. But if you can get him down there somewhere like that, even in the fifth round of drafts, redrafts or startups or whatever you're doing, I wouldn't invest heavily on him in Dynasty. But if you can get him into anywhere after the fifth, value pick, in my opinion. In my opinion. You might not think that, but, you know, he wasn't cut because of lack of talent. He was cut because of financials. Let's get that straight right now. Okay? He wasn't cut because he was busted. They couldn't afford him anymore. With what they're doing offensively, they weren't paying him enough. Didn't make any sense. So, business-wise, I get it. I'm sure he did, too. Honestly, I thought he would have been in Miami by now. His hometown is where he's from. You know, I thought for sure that's where he would have ended up. Ramsey's there. But no, hasn't happened yet. Cool episode for you tonight. That college episode, I got three lists I'm going to throw at you. I'm going to throw at you five Devy names. If you haven't ran your Devy drafts yet, I'm not saying I would draft these guys. Actually, if I look down this list, yes, I would definitely draft two of them on this list. The other three names, I'm keeping an eye on. These are alerts for you to watch out for throughout the course of the season. Watch these names to be popping up across the bottom line on ESPN or Fox Sports or whatever server you're listening to or watching from. Look for these names to pop up with numbers. I'm going to start with that. Then I'm going into, I saw a list on Twitter the other day. Somebody listed their top 10 favorite FSU quarterbacks. So I thought, why not? I'll do that. And then I'll end the show with something we can all really enjoy. I don't know that I've ever done this before. If I have, I don't remember. My preseason college top 10. So three lists coming at you this evening as we fire back up and hit it with both boots on the ground. So let's get started right here quick. Five Devy names I want you to copy down, jot down, put in your phone, text it to yourself, whatever the case may be, and keep an eye on these guys. Okay? All five of these guys are going to go in your college draft. If you're in CTC leagues, they're going to go in your college leagues. No doubt about it. But there are five names that I thought would still be available if you've already drafted. If you've drafted your college team already, you're a little early. That's just my opinion. But these names will come up if they're already not on teams. But I almost bet you three of these five are available in most of your leagues. But we're talking Devy tonight a little bit, okay? So, in this segment, these are five names that I could seriously see translating their game into the NFL. In no particular order, I'm going to start at the top of the list I made. Aronde Gadsden II. You might recognize the name. His dad played for the Dolphins back in the day. He was a wide receiver. His son is bigger than him. Okay, he plays for the University of Syracuse. 6'5", 216. He's a tight end wide receiver hybrid. Okay, and if you put on film from him or you've watched him play, and I've watched him play because I'm an ACC fan, he gives defenses fits. Because linebackers can't run with him, okay? Corners can't physically him up, and he's faster than safeties. So you have to have superior athletes to cover this kid. Because he was listed as a tight end for a while. Now I think they've moved him to wide receiver. And at 6'5", 216, that is one big NFL wide receiver. He can catch the ball. He runs very well for his size. He could be a little bit more physical, but with his size, he doesn't really need to be. He's going to translate to the NFL quite nicely. Now, you say he plays for Syracuse. Yeah, I get it. A lot of these players on this team play for teams that are going to make you kind of bat your eyes. But Syracuse, if you'll remember right, last year, they started out like 5 or 6-0. Granted, they didn't play the toughest schedule to start, and they ended up really bad. But they were on a roll, okay? And they're still a Division I school playing in a Power 5 conference. And this kid's got all the goods. So keep him on your list, keep him on your radar, and don't forget that, because you'll recognize the name if you're an older guy like me or lady. Aronde Gadsden was his dad, played the NFL. Second, Will Shepard, 6'3", 200, out of University of Vanderbilt. And I know you say Vanderbilt. I know I get that. Vanderbilt's still in the SEC. Okay, I know I use them as a punching bag every chance I get, but they're still an SEC team, and they're still Division I, Power 5. And this kid, for his size, okay, 6'3", 200, he has really good run-after-the-catch ability. He makes things happen, and he gets the ball. And not even really in space. I've seen some stuff where he's kind of just got the ball, and he makes things happen. Well, that's going to translate to the NFL, because in the NFL, what you're going to have professional players against you, and they're going to be all-world talent, so you're going to have to make things happen when you get the ball. And from what I've seen from this kid so far, I like it. I didn't draft him in either of our Devy drafts. Okay, total disclosure, full disclosure. But he was on my list of people to watch out for throughout the course of the season. If your Devy leagues allow moves, which the ones that I run do, you can make an adjustment. You can make a roster move for him throughout the course of the season. Third, Cameron Ward, quarterback, Washington State. This is going to be his second year at Washington State, transferring from the Incarnate Word. Okay, last year we had some speculation on, well, yes, he lit up teams playing for the Incarnate Word. But it was the Incarnate Word. So he transfers to Washington State, which, if you are aware of their offense, it's an air raid system. They throw the ball all over the place. Gardner Minshew went there, lit it up in college. He had a really good college season last year. I want to see it again. Okay, that's why I wasn't really interested in taking him in a Devy League draft, but I was interested in you know, bookmarking his name and saying, let's see what he does this year again for a second year at a Power 5 school. Next on my list, and this guy is not really going under the radar as much as he may be overlooked in some Devy leagues if you don't run tight ends. The Devy Hitmen, we do not run a tight end position. Simply because I created the league and I don't like the tight end position. But if you are in a league that runs tight end positions, you have to allow for the waiting period. Okay? And after Brock Bowers, it is possible that this could be the argument for the number two tight end in the country this year. And that is Jatavion Sanders out of the University of Texas. And if you listen to this podcast for the past year or so, I've said, give me that Texas smoke. Okay? This guy's good. Last year, a limited service because he was dinged up a little bit. 54 catches, 613 yards, 5 touchdowns. 6'4", 249. That's great. They may want him to put on a little bit more weight at the NFL level. I like that right there. Lean. And this kid is a baller. And he can take a one-yard dump-off catch and turn it into 15 or 20 yards. Because when Ewers was hurt, or when Ewers was just starting to ramp up and starting to just get the wheels rolling underneath him early in the season, his dump-off was to Jatavion Sanders. Okay, he wasn't throwing the ball deep down to Xavier Worthy. He's looking for the check down, and that's really what got him comfortable, Ewers, I mean, throwing the ball and then evolving until he got hurt. And then once he came back, it was a little bit of a rough start getting going. But this guy is going to be a main player for the Horns this year, and that's going to translate him into the NFL. Everybody knows Brock Bowers is tight end one. Okay, and I said this a minute ago. This could be where the argument starts for who's tight end number two in the country. A little bit overlooked because of Bijan Robinson, a little bit overlooked because of Xavier Worthy, you know, and the glitz and glamour of Texas football and the bigger picture in the coast to coast college scope. But if you are a follower of college football, this name is not a surprise to you. But if you play in non-tight end leagues, and it does take tight ends years to transfer to the NFL game, at least a year, okay, don't give up on him. Get him, stash him, and let it try to work itself out in the NFL. I had to have a tight end on this league because as much as I do not like the position in fantasy, it's relevant in the NFL, and this guy is going to be a relevant NFL player. So use up the roster spot, and if you haven't drafted him yet and you have a tight end position and he's available, draft him, because you're going to be glad you did. Number five, last one. Gavin Sawchuk, running back out of Oklahoma. He's only going to be a sophomore, and he may even be a redshirt freshman. I'm not sure how they're going to have him listed. He had less than 100 yards last year. for the season. I'm not sure. He may still have a redshirt availability. I don't know. 5'11", 198. If you know me, that falls into my wheelhouse. Okay? I like him 5'10 or bigger. And I like him about 200 pounds. He's right there in that. This kid burst on the scene against FSU in their bowl game last year because their main running back, Eric Gray, opted for the NFL, didn't play in the game. And he was almost unstoppable. Now, FSU's run defense, a little banged up in that game. Some people didn't play, so their front four was a little bit thin. Not making excuses. FSU still won, by the way. But he ran all over FSU. So that right there threw my radar up. I'm like, okay, I'm going to remember this guy. So I put him on the list. I wasn't going to draft him. I want to see if he's able to even, because they got another kid there too. That's just as good. Had a very good game against the Noles as well in that bowl game. So probably going to split some carries. So in college fantasy, I'm still going to take a shot on him. But I want to see how he evolves for his NFL game this year. And from what I saw in that one game, small serving size, okay, that's a bowl game. Yeah, it was a Cheez-It Bowl, and, you know, 10 guys or whatever opted out from Oklahoma or whatever it was, eight. You know, but he got his chance, and he didn't wither from it in a big game scenario. It wasn't like it was the first game of the year. Okay, this is their last game of the year, and he made his name for himself in that game. Gavin Salchuk. Sophomore running back out of Oklahoma. Those are just five names. And people, I could give you five more today, five more tomorrow, and five more on Wednesday. They are out there. There are diamonds and gems in Devy leagues. And depending on how deep your Devy roster is and what is and how your rules are composed, the talent is out there, and it's so deep. I don't care if you're in a 10-man league, 8-man league, 12-man Devy league, however many roster spots you have, you can always find somebody to keep your eye on. That's why Devy is, like, really my favorite of all the fantasy platforms. Because what do I say? Keep your Devy refrigerator stocked. If you keep your Devy fridge stocked, you ain't going hungry in the NFL side. That's just the nature of it. So to recap, those five guys, one more time. Put them in your phone. Send yourself a text. Ronde Gadsden, Syracuse, Will Shepard, Vanderbilt, Cam Ward, Washington State, Jatavion Sanders, Hook'em Horns, Gavin Salchuk, Boomer Sooner. That's going to move us to the portion of the program where I'm probably going to lose some listeners. But this is my podcast, and I figure I'm going to do whatever I want. So I'm going to go through it pretty quick. But I saw a list on Facebook. Somebody said, who's your top 10 favorite FSU quarterbacks of all time? And there was some people on here. There was about 20 or 30 people that threw their list out there. And I agreed with some of it, and I disagreed with some of it. And some people thought that this person should have been on there, and this person shouldn't have been, and blah, 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 blah. That's the beauty of this. Everybody has an opinion. You can't get mad at someone's opinion. Okay? You may think they're wrong, but that's your opinion. They can't get mad at you for thinking they're wrong because that's your opinion. So, I mean, they may be wrong. But who knows? Who knows? So I'm just going to do this real quick. I thought it'd be kind of fun. And for anybody who listens to this podcast, who follows FSU, these names will not be strangers to you. I'm going to start at the bottom and go my way to the top. And the bottom two guys at 9 and 10 could have flip-flopped either direction because both of these guys had big-time ups and big-time downs at Florida State. I'm going to throw both names out there. I'm just going to kind of hit on both real quick and then move on. That's Chris Wicks and Drew Weatherford. Both of these quarterbacks was like, you heard that song Hard Luck Woman by Kiss? Well, this is kind of like Hard Luck Quarterback. They had some really great moments. I mean, Weatherford threw some fantastic games. He threw some 300-yard games, and it looked like he could just flick that ball. And then he come out there and throw passes that make you say, what in the world is he doing? What is he thinking? And he could have been really, really good. The problem with Ricks and Weatherford both is they played in an era that's known as the FSU lost decade. and they weren't really recognized for the talent that they had. I mean, Chris Ricks was a gamer. He come out there and he would fight and claw for four quarters. It didn't matter if he was down three scores. He's still out there fighting. Both of those guys had to make my list just for the sheer fact that they played on some teams that were not normal FSU teams, and they still fought and fought and fought for quarterbacks for their team. Coming in at number 9, EJ Manuel, former first-round draft pick of the Buffalo Bills. This was Jimbo Fisher's first big quarterback recruit when he came to FSU. Okay, he was the guy in waiting. He was going to be, that was Jimbo's big guy. It was his guy. Out of Virginia, Jimbo recruited him, brought him in. It was going to be his guy as soon as it was Jimbo's time. He didn't disappoint. He had some really big games. He played very well. He carried the team for a lot of his career. Now, unlike Ricks and Weatherford, he did not make gigantically huge mistakes that make you scratch your head. He actually played very smart. He used his head all the time, and he was always looking at what's coming next, what happens if I do this. A couple of games, one of them still makes me sick to my stomach. The FSU was up 13-0 at halftime against NC State. He was the quarterback in that game. FSU lost 14-13, could not score the rest of the game. That game still hurts to this day. But he had to make my list. Former first-round draft pick, okay, you don't just do that. That doesn't just happen. Okay, so you've done something in your college career to make it worth your while. Coming in at number 7, Danny Cannell. I love Danny Cannell. I would have put him higher on this list if it would have made any sense, but the guys I have ahead of him, I couldn't see justifying putting ahead of him. Danny Cannell was so close to getting benched against Florida, and they were going to see Thad Busby, but that game turned around. It was the choke at Doak, and that game turned around, and Danny Cannell stayed in the game, brought him all the way back, like 31-3 at halftime, if I remember right. Brought him all the way back, and the game ended in a tie. Florida choked big time in that game. He played, you always say when you follow greatness, okay, you got big shoes to fill. I can give you two examples. Danny White followed Roger Staubach in Dallas. Aaron Rodgers followed Brett Favre. Now, Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Hall of Famer. Maybe not the world's greatest. Not the world's greatest comparison. But when you follow greatness, you got big shoes to fill. Okay, Danny Cannell followed Charlie Ward. So he had big shoes to fill. It wasn't Charlie Ward. He couldn't do the same things Charlie could. But he was good enough to make an NFL roster, played for the Giants for several years, and he was a fantastic quarterback at FSU. So there was no way I could leave Danny Cannell off this list. Coming in number 6, and I couldn't let him fall any farther, even though I wanted to, I got Jameis Winston coming in at number 6. Yes, he was a Heisman winner. Yes, national championship winner. Yes, first overall pick in the NFL draft. What he did on the field was fantastic. He brought FSU back out of that lost decade I was just talking about. He brought him back. Still isn't in my top 50 of overall FSU players. Probably never will be. Just for his off-the-field issues, his character issues, kind of bug me a little bit. But what he did for the Noles and that football program, you know, there's only been a couple others to do it like him. So I couldn't let him fall down past 6. People are going to say, holy crap, how come he's not 1, 2, or 3? Well, because he's 6. Because he's not my favorite NFL or my favorite FSU quarterback. Number 5, Peter Tom Willis. And they're going to be like, you're crapping me, right? You got Peter Tom Willis over Jameis Winston? I do. You want to know why? I'll tell you. Because when I turned on the TV and I saw the Noles play for the very first time, PTW was the quarterback of that football game. And that's when I fell in love with FSU. It was their helmets. He was the quarterback. It's a name you can't forget. Peter Tom Willis goes to the NFL. for the Bears. He's a punter in the NFL / quarterback, back when they still did that. Okay? He was my first quarterback. Kind of like Danny White was really the first quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys that I can actually remember. I mean, I remember Staubach being there. I was real, real young. But when I first got the grip of watching football, Danny White was the Cowboys quarterback. So it was PTW for Florida State, and that's what got me off and rolling. So he has to make this list. Not to mention he was a really good quarterback. And he wasn't even really the quote-unquote starting quarterback for that team that year. But when I turned on that TV that afternoon, they were playing Florida, and he's the quarterback, and I fell in love with those helmets, he's my guy. At four, I got to go Christian Ponder at four. And I wasn't a complete Christian Ponder fan when he first took over the reins at quarterback. I loved his running ability. I knew he was very smart, 2 master's degrees at Florida State. That is impressive. But there was little things that he did that I thought, oh my gosh, he's going to get himself killed. He's not playing very smart. But then as his career went on, and you know what he went through and how he battled for Coach Bowden, and you know, he was Bowden's last first-round draft pick at a quarterback position. You know, you're like, he really embodied the whole FSU thing, okay? And as his career evolved, my like for him evolved with it. And every year, I'm like, this kid's just getting better and better and better. And then he's talked about in the first round, late round, and then the Vikings take him earlier than they should have. Doesn't matter, still counts. I'm like, man, this kid is really a good football player. He goes to Minnesota. I can't wait till he gets his start, and he comes in. His very first play, play action pass, rolls out, touchdown pass on the field. Very first play of his NFL career. Correction, it was not a touchdown. It was just a bootleg, roll out, big play down the field, and his NFL career was off and running. Christian Ponder had to make this list. Coming in at number 3, 3-2-1. Well, 3 is kind of a slam dunk, Jordan Travis. Okay, 2-1, that's a tough one. Jordan Travis, from what we've seen from him, since his evolution from Louisville to coming to Florida State, they didn't even want him. Taggart didn't want him on the field. To what he could possibly be this year, and to see how far he's came and brought this team back from its second run of nastiness from the Taggart era and when Jimbo left it in a mess, to where it's at now, what could be for Taggart or for Jordan Travis this year, and the things that he's done for Florida State and how much he loves Florida State, he's in my top 5. Matter of fact, he's in my top 3. Was he in my top 3 this time last year? No. He's in my top 10, I would say, if I would have done one. But now, he's in my top 3 for what he's done and this season, what could possibly happen. This is a magical team we have in Tallahassee this year. Number 2, number 1, this is so hard to decide on. And you could really flip a coin. It really all depends on preference. Okay, and as much as I love number 2, I love number 1 just as well. So number 2, this may shock you, I'm putting Charlie Ward at number 2. Charlie Ward came into Florida State as a punter. Ends up a quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner, National Championship winner, goes into the NBA, plays a bunch of years for the New York Knicks. He revolutionized the quarterback position back before the running quarterback was a thing. If there was a running quarterback when he was in his prime in the NFL, he'd have been a day one draft pick. Different time frame, different era. Goes to the NBA, plays more years, makes more money. Smart, for sure. That 93 season was magical. When they was able to beat Nebraska, finally get Bowden's first national championship. Phenomenal year. Phenomenal run for Charlie Ward. There's probably been lists out where I put out before where he's my number 1 quarterback. So it definitely could go back and forth. I could change my mind in an hour and say, well, I probably could have put Ward number 1. You still can. I still can. This is just for fun. But number 1, I'm putting Chris Winkie. there's a backstory behind Chris Winkie. He left football, went and played baseball, come back to football. He was an old man. Okay, he was like 26 years old, like a 26-year-old freshman or something. I can't remember the numbers. Called FSU, said, I'm thinking about coming back to football. If I come back, am I guaranteed to be the starting quarterback? And they said, well, if you win in the job, you'll be the starter. He said, okay, well, I'll be the starter then. I love that. That was awesome. Left baseball, come back to FSU. What's he do? Wins a Heisman, a national championship. They would have won back-to-back national championships had he not gotten hurt. And forever in my head, well, that Tennessee win against them will have an asterisk beside it because we didn't have Winkie at quarterback. We had Peter Wart coming back for a senior season. Okay, that team, if they had Winkie, aim close. And all these Tennessee fans, well, they beat Florida State. Well, they did win the game. I'll give them that. Okay, but they beat the second-string quarterback on a team that, you know, had lost. Really, I don't know. Wark was their spark plug, but you know, Winkie's a trigger man. So that Winkie-Wark combination, or that's the reason, or Winkie to Wark is the reason why he's my number one. Because the year they beat Virginia Tech, which would have been Wark's junior year, I mean, just a fantastic year. I think he passed for 6,000 yards. They averaged 30-some points a game. I mean, that team just was so fun to watch. And it was just like you could not stack up to Florida State. The only person who could try was Michael Vick. And Michael Vick kept him in it as long as he could. But at the end of the day, that team was just too good. Best team in the country, and it wasn't even close. And, you know, that run right there, that 3 or 4 year run of when they was always up in the top 2 or 3, is probably going to be the most meaningful of my life. I was in my 20s. You know, it was awesome to see them to hit their stride like that. You know, I'd come up, you know, watching PTW, you know, and then I went through all these years of them being great. And then as soon as that kind of dipped, as soon as that kind of hit and tipped down, then we hit that lost decade, but now we're on the upswing back up. So for me, it was like Winkie was a main focal point of that, you know, I'm always going to remember those games. The national championship game against Virginia Tech, that was fantastic. Warwick had a fantastic game in that game. And, I mean, it's so easy to put Winkie 1 and Ward 2 or Ward 1 and Winkie 2. It's literally 1A, 1B with those two guys, in my opinion. You know, you guys who are FSU fans or college football fans in general, you know, you may have Winston up at number 1, and certainly – you know, undefeated season, magical run when they beat Auburn for the national championship. I love that too. I really did. But it's my third favorite national championship. Just for the simple fact that it was time for them to win it again, and they were ready, and their team was good. But they really thought that FSU was still a year away. And then it turns out the next year, the college football playoff starts, and they play Oregon, and Marcus Mariota just steamrolls them, and Jameis Winston just has a terrible game, like 6 turnovers, if I'm not mistaken. But, I mean, that was supposed to be the year. They were just a year early. So it was awesome to see that, but for me, my number one national championship is the Winkie Warwick Knowles against Virginia Tech. That was a fun game. Michael Vick was a fantastic, phenomenal player. I mean, and he just made everybody look so foolish. But what a fun game that was. So that was fun. If you didn't like it, I don't care. Now we're going to move on to the main event. I don't know if I've done this before. Preseason top 10. And this is a little controversial, I'm sure. Because I've looked at other top 10s and I thought, I don't like this team there. I don't like this team there. I said, I'll throw mine out there. I'll throw it out there. We'll see how it sticks. Okay. At number 10, I'm going to start from 10, go to 1, obviously. 10, I got Penn State. Their defense is always pretty good. That's a tough place to play. And they finally got rid of the plow that was Sean Clifford, and they got a 5-star quarterback in Drew Allar coming in to take over. They still have Nate Singleton, a running back. This team is going to be a force in the Big Ten. You got to go up there and play in Happy Valley, and it is just not. And if you go up there and play at night, at Saturday night, in Happy Valley during a whiteout game, That has got to be intimidating. There is no way you can look around that and see all that white and all them shaking white towels and just not be like, oh my gosh, this is so annoying. They weren't a bad football team last year. I look for them to be better this year. I'm going to throw them at number 10, and we'll see how it goes. Number 9. There are 4 teams on this list. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4. That are starting different quarterbacks in this list. Tennessee comes in number 9. Tennessee would probably be a little bit higher on this list for me if they would have been returning the quarterback, whose name I can't remember, and Hyatt and Tillman. If they would have been returning those 3 guys, they probably would have been in the top 5. But you got Joe Milton coming in, taking over for Hendon Hooker. There's his name. You lost Jalen Hyatt, and you lost Cedric Tillman. Okay, but you still have a staple of really good young running backs. You have a very young, energetic coach in Heupel, and this team was not a fluke last year. Okay, this team was really good. They deserve to be in the top 10. They would be higher if they weren't replacing 3 major cogs in that offense. At number 8, LSU. Week 1 will speak volumes for this team. They play FSU week 1. If they get past FSU, they could go on a run. And really only struggle against the big dogs in the SEC. Because that's going to give them tons of momentum. Because if you remember back last year, they lost to FSU in a game that was kind of sloppy at the end. FSU probably should have put it away a lot earlier. LSU hung around. They lost one of their main guys at the very beginning for jumping up and down. And he jumped on a play and tore his ACL. That was like one of their main defensive linemen. Had another guy target Jordan Travis. He got ejected. So they lost 2 defensive studs in that game. Those guys, to my knowledge, are, I know the one who's injured coming back. I think both of them are. Okay, they're returning their quarterback. They got a really stud wide receiver and Gabe Neighbors. Not Gabe Neighbors. Gabe Neighbors, that's funny. He played for Florida State. A wide receiver Neighbors should be the real deal. This team's going to be really good. And that week one game for them is going to say a whole lot. Coming in at 7, the Texas Longhorns. I wanted them higher on this list, and I thought I better regulate just a little bit. Okay, they did lose the best running back in college football over the past couple of years, maybe the best in the last decade, arguably. But they're bringing in young talent. Their wide receivers are coming back. We talked a little bit about the tight end and my Devy moves with Jatavion Sanders. Quinn Ewers is the guy. It's not Arch Manning. Okay, if Quinn Ewers plays well, goes to the NFL, then you can start talking to Arch Manning. They got good wide receivers, they got good defense, and they got a good coach, Steve Sarkisian. I like them to really have a solid season this year, and I look for them to do well. I don't know that they go undefeated, but they could, 1 or 2 losses, I think, is acceptable for this team this year. At 6th, USC Trojans. Another team that could be higher for me, but the top 5 teams, I just think, are just a little bit better. Okay, this team could vault up and be in the college football playoff at the end of the season. They have one of the most dynamic quarterbacks we've seen in a long time in Caleb Williams. Not to mention the quarterback whisperer in Lincoln Riley as a head coach. They're getting talent after talent after talent, not only recruiting there, but transferring there. They got wide receivers for days. They got running backs for days. Okay, their depth is amazing. They can lose 3 guys and still be a legitimate college football playoff contender. They've just got that much depth. At 5, yes, they cannot wait any longer. My beloved Noles at 5. This is as good a place as any to put them. I can't find a place for them any lower. And I certainly can't find a place for him any higher. So this is a good spot. I've seen him as low as 14 on some lists. I've seen him in the top 5 or 6 on list. So this is about as good as I can get. Okay, they are returning just about every major piece, offensively and defensively. They're bringing back a Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback, who we talked about earlier on my top 10 FSU quarterback list. the evolution and the maturation under this team under Mike Norvell is amazing in just two or three seasons. Don't count COVID year. That year was a scratch. What he's done there as FSU's head coach is second to none throughout the course of the last 15, 20 years. That's my opinion, but there are some facts behind it. They brought in gigantically huge playmakers through the portal. Jaheim Bell, Keon Coleman from Michigan State. Okay, Trey Benson in his first real full year last year came back after a terrible knee injury. They're looking at him as, I've seen the list on Twitter, not kidding you, he's number one of NFL running backs coming out next year. This team's legit. They got to put it all together, and you look at their schedule, just like LSU, week one's tough for them. They get past LSU, tough games, they could go undefeated. They could run the table if they get past LSU and Clemson. Because their schedule, it's not great, but it's not as near as hard as it was last year. They had a run last year of like three games in the middle where they lost their three games. That was a tough run right there. Okay, it's spaced out this year. LSU, Clemson, Florida. The Miami game's always, Miami's kind of a joke right now. The Florida game's always tough. They get past LSU, they could legitimately run the table and be in the college football playoff. I'm not just saying that as a biased FSU fan. It could happen. Number four, Michigan. Michigan's not just a fluke anymore, okay? Michigan wasn't just a one-year pop. Both of their running backs are coming back, okay? Their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, is coming back with another year of experience. He's only going to get better, okay? He needs to get a little bit better, okay? But that running back duo that they can lean on between Corum and I can't think of his name right now for some reason. It's escaping me. I'm a mistake. I'm not going to look it up right now. But they got that running back duo. Both of them are coming back. And, you know, it's always Michigan. They're always playing tough. But they're in a tough, tough conference. We've already talked about Penn State. You got the Buckeyes. Okay? It's going to be tough. But I think they can do it. And they deserve to at least have a shot and be in the conversation again. At three, you got Alabama. Just because it's Alabama. These next three teams, all starting quarterbacks are being new this year. Alabama, maybe Jalen Milroe, we don't know yet. Okay? But it's Alabama we're talking about here. Okay? It's still Alabama, no matter what. It's still Alabama. So they got to be talked about in the top four. I can't put them any higher than three, but you could flip-flop Michigan and Bama if you wanted to. You could actually even drop them to five and move FSU up there if you're so inclined. I didn't want to go quite that far, even though I am an FSU diehard. I wanted to leave it a little bit professional, although this podcast is kind of generating towards going more opinionated going forward. That's a FYI. But they have to be in top four because it's Bama. They still have Nick Saban, and they still have the bloodlines of the college ranks. At number two, and I've seen one where this team was number one, and it's Ohio State. I can't put them at number one just because everybody knows Georgia's number one. Georgia's back-to-back national championships. They're replacing the quarterback as well. They got a couple of guys who can both potentially be the quarterback for that team, as does Ohio State. So I'm not mad at whoever you put number one. I got the Buckeyes there just because they got Marvin Harrison. And they got a really good duo in the backfield of Williams and Henderson. And it's Ohio State, for crying out loud. Okay? It's wide receiver. If you could say, is LSU wide receiver U or is Ohio State wide receiver U? There's a conversation for either one. But they just keep putting out wide receivers into the NFL. And now Marvin Harrison may be the best one they've had, you know, going back to, you know, David Boston, Joey Galloway type stuff. Okay? That's some serious names. If you look through the annals of time and you say wide receiver Ohio State, wide receiver Ohio State, wide receiver Ohio State, they just continue to put out wide receivers into the NFL. No exception here. No exception. Throughout the course of time, as far as I've been following college football, Ohio State puts out some wide receivers. So what's that tell you? That tells you that whoever they put at quarterback with a good running game, they can throw the ball because they got wide receiving talent all over the place. So I'm not worried about their quarterback. I don't care who it is. I don't care. Number one, Georgia. They're losing a quarterback. But like I said before, they got a couple that they can replace with him. You have to put Georgia number one because they've won it back-to-back. Okay, I hate the Buckeyes. I'm not a Buckeye fan at all. Never root for them unless they were playing Florida. That'd be about the only time. But you got to give them their due. They could be number one here. They could. Had it not been for Georgia going back-to-back, they would be number one on my list. So I don't want any Buckeye fans saying, you hate on Ohio State because you don't hate Ohio State, blah, 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 blah. No, there's a reason for it. Okay, there's a reason I gave them the number two instead of number one. If they'd have been back-to-back champions, they'd be number one. Or if they'd have won it once out of the last two seasons, they probably would have been number one. But when Georgia goes back-to-back and they're looking for a three-peat, I can't see in my right mind putting anybody except Georgia at number one. To me, it's common sense and it's easy. It's like number one, you pencil it in, and then you're scratching your head at two, three, and four. And then, you know what? I could even go, I was doing this when I was making the list. From 8, 9, and 10, places 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 could all be in that top 10. There are teams out there, Notre Dame, Oregon, that you could potentially say should have been on this list. But somebody had to get let off. But that's the beauty of college football, because we get to play it out. We get to see how it works out. This probably will not be the way it ends up, because somebody's going to get beat. Somebody's going to end up getting beaten here. No doubt about it. Has to, because 5 plays 8 in week 1. Somebody's losing right off the bat. But I thought I'd do that. This is that college episode. I don't think I'd ever done one before. A little longer than it should have normally is. Had a lot to talk about. My throat's a little dry. I've had to stop and get a couple of drinks a couple of times. But that was fun. I love college. It's my favorite. To me, it's funner than watching the NFL. The NFL is a business. College is more fun. Although with the NIL and things like that, it's becoming a business. But it's still fun for me right now. It might not be that way in 10 years, but it is, at least it is right now. I mentioned earlier this podcast for the past six seasons has been really, I've tried to be neutral and based on all my stuff. Professional and unbiased as best I possibly could. I believe going into this season, that's going to change. Just for the simple fact is for one, it's my podcast. And two, I don't feel I should be saddled with trying to be, you know, right down the middle, because I'm not mainstream media. I'm a small podcast here in Ohio. I have a small covey of listeners, somewhere in the neighborhood of anywhere between 10 and 50, depending on the episode, depending on what I put out. So why not be a little bit more, I'm not going to say one-sided, but I'll be a little bit more my opinion. And if it's a little bit more harsher or it's a little bit more, you know, one way or the other, why not? I'm going to see how I like it. I've tried to be as best as I can. And I'm never, ever going to bash a team. I'm never going to bash a person. I'm never going to bash anyone, anything. That's never going to change. I'm still going to keep a level of integrity, but you know, as I listen to podcasts and I watch sports shows and things of that nature, Colin Cowherd and if you whether you hate him or you like him, Paul Feinbaum, can't stand him personally. But those guys are all really heavy opinionated. So why can't I be here in my little podcast studio here in southwestern Ohio? Why can't I be? You know, Paul Feinbaum makes no bones about who he likes and who he hates, and he has prejudiced against certain teams. Why can't I? I'm just going to be more respectful about it. But I think about taking on a new approach. See how it does. See how I like it. If I get some negative feedback, you know, I guess, oh well. But I still won't cuss. This will still be a family-friendly show. And I know there's been a couple of times where I've let a word or two slip out. Can't say that won't happen again. But I'm never going to be a vulgar podcast where you're like, oh, my gosh, this is just rank. That'll never happen because that's not me. But I figured if those guys like Jim Rome and Colin Cowherd and Paul Feinbaum and all those guys can get away with it, you know, why can't I? So, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, you might not even notice a difference. I might be the only one who notices a difference. I don't know. I listen to these podcasts after I put them out there just to see how it sounds and the quality level and stuff. But, you know, I don't listen just to hear myself talk. But it might not sound any different. I don't know. We'll see. I was just thinking about changing some format, you know, maybe, you know, and it's nothing really bad. It's just a, you know, change is never a bad thing. And if I can change in a good direction and the right direction, you know, why not? So, but for those of you, and you know who you are, Kane Harder for one, Kane, I think, has listened to every podcast I've put out since I've started podcasting back in 2017. And for that, I appreciate that. I appreciate the loyalty. I appreciate the friendship. But, you know, I appreciate the friendship most of all. But supporting me in this has been a lot to me. And, you know, your feedback means a lot to me. Your opinion means a lot to me, Kane. And, you know, you do a couple of voiceovers here on the podcast for me. I appreciate that, too. So, but to everybody who does listen, you know, I do appreciate the feedback, whether it's good or bad or indifferent. I do get some feedback. I get some feedback from clear out west. California. I've had some people message me from California, Arizona. So, I mean, it's out there. People listen to it once in a while. So, you know, it makes it worth it. But it's also just an outlet for me to channel my opinion. And that's what basically made me think about, well, if this is my outlet, well, then I might as well just say what's on my mind and see how it rolls. I don't know. Let me know if you like it, if you don't like it. Either way, you can find me on Twitter at CGapBlitz. You can find the show wherever you listen to podcasts. And as always, I thank you. That'll do it. Over an hour. Man, I was long-winded. I was running about an extra 20 minutes today. But hope you enjoyed that college episode. We're firing up. Like I said before, NFL preseason's taking off here soon. It's time to get serious again. Got any draft questions, whatever, hit me up on Twitter at CGapBlitz. See you next time.